My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele holding down everything behind the scenes, making sure we rock and roll at 545. We'll have on with us today Tim Rebo in our Thibodaux Regional Medical Center Nichols head football coach segment. And so instead of triple option, we'll have Coach Rebo, who was good enough to kind of rearrange his schedule to do that for us. A little after 4:30 this afternoon, Danny Cannell, former Florida State quarterback, also with the New York Giants, and now is a college football analyst for CBS Sports, will be on with us to talk college football, a little bit of NFL, and as usual at 5:20, Brad Evans with Odyssey Sports will be on with us to give us his top bets for the week. Before we talk a little bit about sports, want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the people out in the Florida area. We've been through this before, and they're dealing with something that's really a dangerous situation. And we've seen what's happened to Milton over the last few days and blow up into a Category 5. It's now a 3, but you're talking about a storm that has 120-mile-an-hour sustained winds, 150 gusts. That is really something to have to deal with. And also the storm surge anywhere from 8, 12 feet. That's really dangerous in that area. So, man, our thoughts and prayers go to the people there. We've been through this before. Having lived on the bayou all my life, understand what's happened there. I talked to a number of people there, and we've actually got a couple people that worked in the New Orleans area, Baton Rouge area, that are in Tampa today, not covering sports anymore. They're covering news because of what's happened there with Hurricane Milton. Numerous tornado warnings in the area also that spawns up when you have a hurricane of this dimension. So our thoughts and prayers are with the people out in Florida, and it's going to be a difficult night for them. So we're thinking about them and praying for them. The Saints practice session today was delayed a little bit, so we don't have an injury report or anything from Coach Dennis Allen. It'll probably be after 4:30 for it, but we'll give you that information when it comes across with the injury situation. And certainly if he makes any announcement, I'd be surprised a little bit if he did on saying who's going to be my starting quarterback. I know if it's fans voting, I know who it is. Everywhere I went today, it's our time to see Spencer Rattler. We'll see if that is the decision made by Dennis Allen, or does he go with Jay Kaner? And I wouldn't be surprised you see both of them sometime or another over the next couple weeks on what happens here. Offensive line issues, not being able to run the football. But the starting quarterback, everywhere I went today, including when I entered the building, everybody was, what's going to happen today? Is he going to make the decision? I'd be surprised if he made an announcement today about the starting quarterbacks. But I know if I was in his spot, I wouldn't say anything until I got to about who's going to be my starting quarterback. If it's a fan's vote, it would be an overwhelming win for Spencer Rattler. Earlier this morning, Tommy Tucker on the morning show had on Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA, and he explained about the oblique injury. And so we'll go to that clip of Dr. Elias explaining the injury that happened to Derek Carr.
Let's talk about the obliques. What are they? When we hear about oblique injury, I don't think people really know what that is.
Well, it's definitely a strange injury, but you do see it in football players and other sports, and it's really not even an orthopedic injury. The oblique muscles are basically the muscles over your abdomen, over your stomach, and you have two of them, the internal oblique and external oblique. And just like any muscle in your arm or leg, it attaches bone to bone. So these muscles attach from your rib cage, and they go down and attach to your pelvis. So you have two on each side. And like any strain, you can tear the muscle at the muscle belly or at the tendon junction, which is what attaches the muscle to the bone. So it's really no way to know where he sprained or tore the muscle. The most common way to have this happen, there's two ways. Really, it can be direct contact, get hit with a helmet, or it can be a sudden twisting motion where the muscle just, you forcefully contract the abdomen muscle and it tears. So I think that's probably what we're seeing here.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a hit. Derek Carr did in the press conference after that. It was the motion. Is this the same as the core, doctor? Is that what you're talking about or not?
Yeah, I mean, the core, your core is your abdominal muscles. So there's other muscles, but when they talk about the oblique strain, those are kind of the muscles that run on your right side and left side, again, attached from your rib to your pelvis. You know, the good news is it's a non-operative injury, and, you know, across the board, the average oblique injury is usually back in 4 to 5 weeks, and you really just treat it with anti-inflammatories, therapy, and rest.
That was Dr. David Elias from OrthoLA, not knowing the complete part of the injury itself, but giving you an outlay of exactly what he's thinking of and how much time that Derek Carr could potentially miss. We always know that, you know, I know in having David on, he always sort of gives the high side and sort of hopes that it's a little bit quicker than that. So the 4 weeks, it could be a 3 week injury, talked about possibly five, it could be four. So, thank Dr. Elias for joining us on our early morning show with Tommy Tucker this morning. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to James in New Orleans. James, you in the huddle with Mike.
Yeah, listen, I'm just so upset, Mike. You know, you don't know me. You know me enough, I think, that I really care about winning.
That's all I care about is winning.
Yeah. We got the wrong guy, and it's frustrating. And I think it starts at the top, really. I would get rid of DA has a .347 winning percentage. He's 2-8 against winning teams. What are we doing? We just let Sean take a 6'5" wide receiver that runs under 4.5, that scored 4 touchdowns, basically beat Atlanta all by himself last year. And we let him go, let him get poached by Sean. What I would do right now, and I know you're going to disagree with me, but I would call Ryan Nielsen up, because basically he's gone because Jacksonville's gone. And he was the linchpin for basically getting all those guys to go to Atlanta. So they obviously have he obviously knows the defense enough. Give him an interim position. Let he and Kubiak kid fight it out. You know, not necessarily fight it out, but remain the OC. And, you know, they both put a letter in to be the head coach for next season. Let's see how it goes. Next year's draft is going to be amazing. I frankly wouldn't mind if we suck, if we get a chance to get the that cornerback. What is it? It's not since Charles Woodson.
Oh, you talking about Will Johnson?
Colorado. Yeah, this kid runs a 4.2, 6.3, 6.3, 4. He runs a 4.2 wide receiver and corner on Deion's team.
You're talking about Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter. Yeah.
Travis, who plays a wide receiver and corner, yeah.
And corner. I mean, I would love to have him. Now, he wants to go smoke weed with Sean back in Denver, but who cares what he wants? You know, I'm done. I mean, listen, and let's be honest. Derek just can't read. Derek just makes the wrong decision when you put pressure on him. So maybe this is a godsend. You don't never want a guy to get hurt, but it was going to be the same results. Denver's defense, you know, is third overall. So you know they come in for Derek if he was going to play, and I think he knows that. And the same, what we got, Tampa. Bowles, one thing about Bowles is he comes with a new blitz. He got some smart players over there. He'll scheme up something the day before the game. So and Derek won't run the ball. So I'm glad he's gone. I mean, I would even trade Derek right now. You know, I know not, he's injured, so you can't trade him now. But I know the Raiders.
No.
You can't trade him now because he's injured. But the Raiders are looking for another quarterback. I'm sure they would love to have Denver. I know I'm jumping the gun a bit, Mike, but I would love to have a Saints record with a number a top 100 picks next season. I'm talking trade a groupie, because I know they need a kicker somewhere. Get the kid. What's the sense of having a guy that's kicking a 65-yarder in practice?
Yeah, and Smith.
But he, yeah, get him, because groupie. I mean, you only sign groupie or pick groupie up because he's going to make field goals. He's missing chip shots. He missed a conversion. He's doing the same thing he did last season. I would try to trade groupie. I would want to get as many top 100 picks as I can, because this is going to be a decent draft. And I'm hoping the O-line sticks, because it's a decent draft for this defensive lineman. It's for running backs. You know this already. You know, and then I already mentioned the corner who I would love to have. I don't like his attitude, but I would love to have him on this team.
Listen, I hear you about Travis, because if I did a board today, he'd be the top guy. Travis Hunter would be the top guy on that board. That doesn't mean he'll go number one. And I learned this years ago, that quarterback position trumps every other spot on the team. And so you might have a higher rated player, but, you know, teams in need of quarterbacks, and that's just not a couple of them. You're talking about maybe a dozen, 13 teams looking for quarterbacks. Not every year you can get them. And last year we saw the run on those quarterbacks and how quickly they go. I feel your frustration, James, about it, because I hear it all the time. And I've seen this before. And you hoping that things will get better, but that's a reality check. And if you wanted to build this team like Clint Kubiak wants to have it built on offense, you'd have loaded up on offensive linemen. You'd have loaded up on the running back position. And what they're short of today, offensive linemen and that running back. So that, they were hoping Kendra Miller would be part of this. We'll see, maybe, but we haven't seen him, so I wouldn't count on that. And Taysom, he's going to get hurt because of the way he plays. He's a pedal to the metal. And when you do that in this league, you're going to be down for a while with some injuries. Thanks so much for the call, James. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTelly along with Cullen Steele in studio. Jeff Nowak just put this on X, and he was at the practice or walkthroughs today, that the Saints only had a walkthrough, and so it was tough to gauge the attendance, but he didn't see Derek Carr, no surprise there. Will Harris, who went down also with an injury. Taysom Hill, no shocker there. Pete Werner or Cesar Ruiz. So, and that, again, that ain't good for your offensive line. No Ruiz. He says one bit of good news, Willie Gay was back, but looked as though he was working off to the side. But the good news that he was back at practice today. We'll get a lot more news from Jeff and also Coach Dennis Allen as soon as he has his press conference, which looks to be going on at around 4:30. You still have a chance to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay and Sean Payton and the Broncos. Enter to win WWL's Double Saints Game Day Giveaway. Score a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Events Group, open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win tickets to the Saints Tampa Bay Buccaneers game and Saints Denver Broncos game from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. When we come back, we'll have on with us Danny Cannell, former college NFL quarterback, and now color football analyst for CBS Sports, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Before we go to Danny Cannell, just moments ago, Saints head coach Dennis Allen announced that Spencer Rattler will start this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Bucs, saying basically he felt as though it gave the team the best chance to win against the Buccaneers. So it was quicker than I thought it would. I thought he'd hold this out for a while, but Spencer Rattler will start against the Tampa Bay Bucs, and I know about for 95% of Saints fans, that's what they wanted to hear from Dennis Allen today. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us college football analyst for CBS Sports, also host of Cover 3 Football Podcast, Danny Cannell. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. And Danny, you're in an unusual situation. You've evacuated from the storm, and you're in New York today, correct?
I am in New York City, so if you hear some sirens, if you hear horns beeping, I am standing on the street at 59th Street and Lexington Avenue. I brought my wife, so I had to come up here for work, and I brought my wife and my youngest daughter with me to kind of get them out of harm's way. My teenage daughters, they'll be fine. Like, if they get a little wet, if they get a little damaged, they'll be fine. But I brought my wife and my 12-year-old with me, and they're shopping right now. So I'm out in the streets of New York City doing this interview. So, you know, if you hear anybody yelling at me, it's just a deranged homeless person.
I got you, Danny. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time. It was just announced, and I know you got to see him play at both Oklahoma and South Carolina. Your thoughts, you haven't played the position on your first start, and sometimes you get that opportunity because of injuries, that Spencer Rattler will start this coming Sunday against the Buccaneers.
Yes, I remember my first start like it was yesterday. I was on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, and I was on the New York Giants, and I remember how nervous I was and, you know, how much anticipation you have, and yet it's also a fulfillment of a lifelong dream to be able to start for an NFL team, and I'm sure Spencer Rattler is going through all those emotions. I think the most important thing to remember is you got to set all those emotions aside, the ticket requests from family members who are going to come watch you play, and prep your tail off, because the one thing that you have to be, and this is either a backup or especially for a guy who's a rookie coming in, you got to be ready for blitz packages, because that's what they're going to throw at you. They're going to test you early and often to see if you know where to go with the football, to see if your offensive line has their blitz pickup package ready to go. They're going to be testing you. So, and then, you know, there's always a temptation to do too much, you know, to make some errant throws. It's okay to take a sack. It's not the end of the world. If you have to throw it away, live to survive another down. But I'm sure they'll put him in a good position, have a nice game plan for him where I'm sure it's probably pared down just a little bit. But I was really impressed with the career arc of Spencer Rattler. He'd been through a lot. He kind of had a bad rap because as a high schooler, he was, you know, younger and immature and made some foolish decisions on a national stage, which I think we all would have. And then he took the long road. But I love what I saw him at South Carolina as one of the tougher quarterbacks in college football, and I think it's going to be exciting to see him get this opportunity.
Danny, from a talent standpoint, and we all agree with this, he can spin it. I mean, now he's got to be smart, and I agree with you totally, of where to go with the football. And with Todd Bowles, you know, he's an old hand at this. He's going to show you looks and pull out at the last minute and try to confuse you to make some bad throws. But he certainly is the more talented of the two guys when you just watching him throw the football between Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. On to college football, your thoughts on LSU Ole Miss, where I think it started maybe at 3, and maybe it's down now to 2.5 or 2. Ole Miss at LSU in Tiger Stadium. Danny, here's the one thing. I would love to have the alcohol sales for the 48 hours leading up to that game, because we wouldn't have to work for the next 3 years with the money made off of that.
You are not lying about that. My goodness, both these fan bases know how to put a few cocktails back. And I'm sure that nighttime, you know, primetime kickoff, they're going to have all day to be tailgating, and the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. I love this game. And you know what I think about this game? I think this is the first of, you know, what we're going to start seeing across college football is really what's going to feel like a playoff elimination game. You know, both teams have one loss. If you go to two, yes, you're still in the race, but then all of a sudden you might need help. You start looking around, and if you lose this game, it just leaves zero margin for error. So I think this is going to be the first of many, you know, playoff elimination games. And I tell you, I honestly believe this. I think people are sleeping on LSU. I actually like the Tigers to win the game outright. I've already seen a lot from them. I think their defense is improved. I know they had the rough game that they had there in South Carolina, but they came out there with a win, which is all that matters. I know the defense still has some issues, but I do think it's better. And I'm not sold on Ole Miss just yet. I go back to the Kentucky game, and I know they went to South Carolina, imposed their will, and got out of there with a pretty impressive win. But I think on the road, I'm really curious to see how Jackson Dart does here, their quarterback in this environment, you know, with an absolutely just crazy scene. I don't know if we're going to see the same type of game last year where it was 55-49. I think you'll see some fireworks, but I think both these defenses are completely different than they were last year.
Danny, I think one of the things in watching Jackson over a period of time, there were some things this year in a couple games. He overlooked a short, easy throw to try to hit the home run shot. I think that's part of his DNA. I also think it's part of the DNA of Lane Kiffin, that he wants to hit that big chunk play. But he's passed up some easier connections underneath to try to hit that big play. And you know as well as anybody, sometimes that doesn't work out well, just throwing that deep ball constantly. And that may be where Nussmeier, man, he's like a surgeon. He sort of cuts you and cuts you and cuts you, and you die from 1,000 cuts with those throws. He's not going to try to hit that deep ball all the time. He's more surgically kind of cut you up and lead that eight-play drive downfield.
I totally agree with you. He's one of my favorite stories, too, and it was well-documented in that national game against USC, which I know they came up short, but somebody who waited their opportunity, stood behind Jaden Daniels, you know, didn't transfer, didn't go anywhere else. And as the son of a coach, it's not surprising at all that he looks in command. Like, I think that's exactly what you're describing. When you say surgical, I think somebody who knows the ins and outs of the system, where to go with the football quickly. If there's a, you know, if somebody comes unblocked, you know exactly where to go with the football. If, you know, knows how to anticipate what defenses are throwing at you, knows when the right time to take the shot play down the field. And that is, to me, a very mature quarterback who hasn't started a lot of games, but he looks really mature. And then when you mention Jackson Dart, it's a little bit surprising because he's played way more football. This is his third year as the starter. And for him, and I agree with you, to make some of those choices, including at the end of the Kentucky game when they're still in a chance to win and driving, trying to get down, you know, into the red zone and trying to keep that game alive, tried to extend the play a little bit too long, could have thrown it away. Instead, he gets sacked. It's a turnover, and the game is over. He does have that, you know, that knack for trying to make a little bit too much happen, and he's got to dial that back in because in this type of game, turnovers are going to be a premium, and that crowd's going to go bonkers, and they're going to thrive off that. So I think that's a really good point that you make and something to watch out for Jackson Dart. Got to be patient within the system. The big shots will come. You just got to be patient sometimes taking those checkdowns.
A game everybody will be watching along with Ole Miss, LSU, Ohio State, Oregon, 4-point favorite Ohio State. I watch Oregon Friday night. It looks as though they were taking a peek ahead. They weren't playing their best. Now their defense, man, they got after it pretty good against Michigan State. But your thoughts on Oregon, Ohio State? I know Tim Brando and I talked about this. I would not be surprised when it's all said and done that Oregon plays for the national championship.
They actually were my preseason pick to win the national championship, and they've had a little bit of a slow start, and I was a little bit worried about it after two games. You know, they struggled against Idaho, who's an FCS program, albeit a really good one. Then they played against Boise State, and it was a tight game where they needed a couple special teams touchdown to win. But then, like, as the season's gone on, they've gotten better, and I think that's something to note because we always expect teams to come out of the gate just clicking on all cylinders. With the amount of transfers and new players, and especially a new quarterback like Dillon Gabriel, it's going to take time for him to get used to that system, used to his wide receivers, used to his running backs, the mesh points, and some of that RPO game. And as he's gone on, I know he had two rough interceptions against Michigan State, but like you said, I thought maybe he was taking some chances that maybe he wouldn't in the type of game against Ohio State, kind of seeing what he can get away with, seeing what his receivers, what type of plays they can make. but I think they've got consistently better. And most importantly, his offensive line, which has been hurt a lot of the season, all of a sudden, after giving up 5 sacks in the first 2 games, they've given up 0 sacks in the last 3 games. They're protecting him a lot better. I think this game, it's you know, there's so many great games this weekend. This one's probably, I think we're going to learn the most, because Ohio State, as great as they've been, they have not been tested yet. And this will be the best opponent and clearly the most hostile environment they'll be in. And they've been awesome, but they haven't been tested yet. And I think this is a game that in the second half, potentially the fourth quarter, the Buckeyes could be looking up at the scoreboard and seeing either a tie game or up 3 or down 3. And you really never know how a team's going to respond until they've been there. And Oregon has already been there. They've been tested. And so I think this game's going to be awesome. But I agree with you. I like the pieces that Oregon has in place. And I actually like them in this spot, especially getting the points. But I don't hate them to win the game outright either.
Penn State, USC. And I know USC's got 2 losses to them. But, man, James Franklin, he would count this as a big win because he hasn't won a lot of them, certainly when he's went up against Ohio State or Michigan. Your thoughts here with Penn State traveling out to California, so to speak, and having to play the Trojans?
Yeah, the travel has been an early storyline in the Big Ten specifically. The teams that have traveled across 2 time zones, which, of course, Penn State is going to be doing going out to the West Coast, are 1-8 outright, not against the spread. They're 1-8 in those games. It's a challenge. And, you know, I got to do it somewhat in the NFL. Different teams took different approaches. Some of them left 2 nights early, which Penn State did. It just takes its toll on your body. You know, you're not used to it. You're creatures of habit. And they're going to go out there and play a USC team, which really has its backs against the wall. They're coming off a loss to Minnesota. Pressure starting to mount on Lincoln Riley. And also for James Franklin, like, this is a game he's favored to win. He's supposed to win as sort of that third best team in the Big Ten. But I again, another team that I don't think has been tested, like they're going to be tested against USC. LSU knows how good that USC team can be when they're clicking on all cylinders. So I think, I like a lot of the home teams, the home underdogs this weekend. I love them with the points. I don't know if I love USC to win the game outright, but I'll go ahead and take those points. Penn State's quarterback, Drew Aller, he has really good statistics, but we were told this year he was going to be airing it out, getting some big plays. While he's got 9 touchdowns and 1 interception, it's been more the same of what you saw last year, a little bit more conservative, a little bit more underneath. Something to keep an eye out is, does Penn State, do they have some big play capability? Because I think they're going to need it going against USC.
Last one for you, Danny. Texas, Oklahoma, 14.5-point favorites over the Sooners. And I think sometimes the last impression in your mind, we saw Oklahoma play Tennessee, and that game really was no indication because the score looked a lot closer than what the game was. Tennessee dominated that game against OU. They've made the change at quarterback now, going up against Texas, and now they got the bullseye on them. Everybody's trying to go after the Longhorns, and you don't need a lot of motivation when Texas plays Oklahoma.
Mike, I was astounded at this number. Over 2 touchdowns in a rivalry game, and I think Texas is the best team in the country. I've got them ranked number 1. I think they're the best team right now. They've looked the best. But there's a couple really interesting things about this game. You mentioned Michael Hawkins, who had his first start on the road at Auburn, in which they got a win. He played okay, but I think he'll be more comfortable after another bye week, getting healthier, getting more familiar with the system. And don't forget, Texas, I know Arch Manning was awesome in the 2 games that he started, but don't forget, the reason he started is Quinn Ewers was hurt. And so I expect, and I think Stark has already announced it there at Texas, Quinn Ewers to come back, but is he rusty at all in this game after that abdominal strain? You know, and I do think Oklahoma's defense is something we're probably sleeping on, and that is a challenge. And we saw this matchup last year. Texas wasn't a 14-point favorite. They were a touchdown favorite and lost the game outright to Oklahoma. So it's a big number in this matchup. I think Texas will win, but there's no way I'm laying that many points against a rivalry game that's just, you know, going to be, you know, the motions are going to be wild. We've typically seen close finishes. I think Texas wins, maybe even by 10 points, but over 2 touchdowns, that's way too many points for me. I can't wait to watch this one, too.
I agree with you totally on that one, Danny. Danny, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wish you, the family, best of luck with everything at the home out in Florida. And Man, our thoughts and prayers are with that area. We've been through it enough down here. And, yeah. Man, you see it in Florida, too. So we get used to it. It looks as though now we'll have this hurricane season stuff up until November or maybe beyond today. But, hey, it's the price for living down here in the South that you know you're going to have those events happen.
Exactly. Mike, just to make sure your listeners know I'm not a bad dad, my teenager, we live on the southeast corner of Florida, so we didn't get hit with anything very serious. We were pretty lucky, but prayers for those people in the Tampa Bay area and that west coast of Florida, which looks like they're still getting pounded as we speak.
Danny, thanks so much, and God bless you, and thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You got it, Mike. Great catching up.
Same here. That was Danny Cannell, college football analyst for CBS Sports, host of Cover 3 College Football Podcast. You can check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football Week 7 lines. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here on our number one of sports talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Danny Cannell. Was in Florida, took his wife, one of the kids, they out in New York. He has business there and get away from the storm. And so he lives in the southern eastern part of the state. And so he's got a couple kids that sort of hanged out back. They didn't want to go, but want to thank him because and sometimes it's difficult to make that connection. But he's always a trooper when we ask him to do it. Big news today, certainly breaking. We talked about it just moments after Dennis Allen announced that Spencer Rattler will be the starting quarterback this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think a lot of that certainly has to do with he's the most talented. That was never a question, but also some mobility. And you got a makeshift offensive line again. That's given you some issues. So you have that particular part. You want to have the best chance to win, the best chance to win. And the coaching staff, and I think Clint Kubiak had a say in this, Spencer Rattler maybe gives us the best chance to win. But you better have somebody with mobility. That's all I can tell you. With that offensive line, your inability to run the football well has really kind of stuck this team in the back over the last 3 weeks. Had a texter asked about Mike and giving both quarterbacks a half in each of the next two games. Would the coaches give a fair assessment on that? I think that today's announcement tells you, and that quick, they've made the choice. Rattler's going to be the guy against the Buccaneers. Unless an injury occurs, he's the guy. So I understand where you're coming from at that stage, but I think they've handed that baton to Spencer and saying, hey, kid, get out there, make it happen. And he's got better mobility skills, better than Jake Haner. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.